How about a history lesson now? Queen Elizabeth II is making history today. She's officially the longest sitting monarch in British history, outlasting her own great-great-grandmother, Queen Victoria, who ruled for an astonishing 63 years and 216 days. Elizabeth herself was in Scotland today, and here's what she had to say about breaking Victoria's record.
Many, including you, First Minister, have also kindly noted another significance attaching to today, although it is not one to which I have ever aspired. Inevitably, a long life can pass by many milestones. My own is no exception.
Some touching humility there from a history-making monarch. Well, let's take a closer look at the reigns of Elizabeth and Victoria. Kate Williams is professor of history at the University of Reading. She's also author of a number of best-selling books about both monarchs, and she joins us from London. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Well, let's talk for a moment about, the nature of the history that's being made here between Elizabeth and Victoria. I mean, it's very fascinating that the two longest reigning monarchs in all of Britain's history are both women who both ascended to the throne at young ages. I mean, Elizabeth was 25 in 1952 and Victoria was, 18 in 1837?
Just 18,
yes.
Yes. And obviously the younger you get the throne, the longer you have a chance of reigning. And indeed, Victoria and Elizabeth, when she overtakes her later on today, will be the longest reigning women in the world. There are European monarchs such as the Sun King, who ruled 72 years, and the longest reigning monarch in the world is the astonishing Sabuza of Swaziland, who ruled for over 82 years. That's a long way away from the Queen, but she is the longest reigning female monarch. And I do think that there's something very striking here about the fact that women have been traditionally excluded from the succession. They've only been able to get the job of being queen if they had no younger brothers and no older brothers. And it's only in 2013 that we saw the law change, when finally, if the first child's a girl, she can have the throne. It seemed very outdated when you see the queen, who is the best proof you can possibly imagine that a woman can do the job just as well as a man.
Mm. Well, in Victoria's case, after her father died, she had several uncles who died childless, which is what led her to become monarch. I mean, was there doubt about her ability to reign over Britain in the early 19th century? And also remind us about what the mood was like around Elizabeth when she became queen.
Well, yes, certainly Victoria, there was a lot of doubt that she was up to the job. There wasn't a model for a queen. Queen Anne had been seen as a failure because she failed to secure the succession. And Elizabeth too. We're very fond of Elizabeth I now. But actually, the mid-19th century saw her as cruel for having executed Mary, Queen of Scots, and again, failing to have an heir. And Victoria really had to prove them wrong. It was an age in which women were increasingly expected to play the good, passive, meek, obedient woman. And that really does conflict with the role of queen, in which you are a leader and you really mustn't be obeying anyone. So they've had an uphill struggle, certainly, against attitudes that could be seen as sexist. The same for Elizabeth II, who came to the throne in the middle of the 50s, the flush of the 1950s housewife. And it's been very difficult for her to balance the role of mother, wife and queen, because in the end, a queen is the absolute ruler. Mm. But it's tough to be a woman on the throne. You are surrounded by men. And the fact that they did so brilliantly, I think, is really an interesting proof that perhaps it's good to be brought up not thinking you're going to get the job, because both Victoria didn't think she was going to get to the job until she was 12 or 13. And Elizabeth never thought she was going to be queen because her father's elder brother, her uncle, who was
Edward
due VIII, for the throne,
right.
And he abdicated.
Right. Well, you know, it's also interesting to look at the reigns of both Elizabeth and Victoria and what they mean about Britain itself, because they were both monarchs at very sort of, I guess, transformational points in British history. I mean, Victoria's rule happened during the same time as the Industrial Revolution. She's Empress of India. There's, you know, the colonial might of Britain is at its peak. And then we have in 1952, when Elizabeth takes the throne, Britain recovering still from the devastation of the Second World War. The colonies are pretty much dissolved away. So what are their rules, their comparative rules say about Britain and the history that they bookend here?
There's no periods in history that have been seen such great change. And they have, of course, been very long. But to think that when Victoria came to the throne, it was really the time of Jane Austen, And when she left the throne, it was the 20th century, railways, the telephone, the motor car. She ended her reign ruling a quarter of the world's population. And then you have Elizabeth, who came to the throne, and it was a completely different age. It was about 50 million population then, and 1.5 million of them owned TVs. Very few owned motor cars, very few owned even a washing machine, and an indoor bathroom was actually quite rare as well. It was a very different world, and here she is now with the explosion of 24-hour news, of air travel, of communications, of the internet, of Twitter. And so she's had to keep abreast of it. She has to, because she has to communicate with her subjects. And this she does very well. So the ages have been ones of great transformation. And both of them have been stability, but at the same time also change themselves.
Well, Kate Williams is Professor of History at the University of Reading. She's speaking to us today from London. Professor Williams, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.